Hey, boys and girls, are you in the need for some dynamite? Then come on down to Shirtless Jake's Dynamite. That's right. We got dynamite sticks, dynamite logs, dynamite longs, dynamite shorts, short sticks, long sticks. One thing we don't have is shirts. So come on down and have your dynamite dot, 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 and other needs met today. Music.
Everybody, welcome to the New World Pictures podcast. We're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
You know, funny story. When I was in ninth grade, we used to go down to Tijuana and we would buy little sticks of dynamite. And we'd shove them in our pants and walk back across the border.
I'm waiting for this to get funny. I'm sure it's gonna get there. Continue.
And so what we would do is we would save up the dynamite for something like Halloween or some other fun festive holiday. And back then, kids, we had metal trash cans, and we would light them and stick them in metal trash cans to see if we could blow them up. Well, a small stick of dynamite is not enough to blow up a trash can, but it is loud as hell. And the first time we lit one, we didn't anticipate how loud it would be. And it sounded truly like a bomb went off in the neighborhood. And it gave us a lot of pause next time we went down to Tijuana.
And Erica.
Hey, guys. In ninth grade, I was just in marching band. So
didn't realize we all have to recount our dynamite memories.
Oh, we're off to a good start.
We're off to a good start because we're off to a good start on June Vroom, where we talk about all the vroomiest movies released by New World Pictures.
To be fair, it does. The title of the movie does have chase in it, which it led me to believe there would be some vrooming going on.
There is, in fact, some vrooming. Sure.
Also, there's some dynamite.
Yeah. I mean, the whole title doesn't lie. It's not, you know, this wasn't Cannonball Run, but I don't think anybody, wasn't Cannonball, but, you know, that I didn't anticipate that.
There was the occasional chase.
For sure.
Also, you're saying it ends on a chase. You said the title's accurate. Great is in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest Texas dynamite chase of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the greatest dynamite chase that Texas had to offer.
This is the one that they measure all other dynamite chases by. Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest dynamite chase in the Santa Clarita part of Texas, right?
Yep. Real hilly.
Got it.
Don't you know all the hilly mountains of Texas? They're known for them.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we are talking about 1976's The Great Texas Dynamite Chase.
Candy and Ellie Joe. They'll steal your hearts and rob your bank.
Ellie Joe. Yeah. How'd we do?
Full vacation.
In the Great Texas Dynamite Chase. Yeah.
have a good time.
Let's get rich.
Claudia Jennings.
Okay, I'm game.
Jocelyn Jones.
I see a future in this.
Johnny Crawford. Great Texas Dynamite Chase.
That's right. 1976's The Great Texas Dynamite Chase.
Nothing sounds more dangerous than a trumpet. Booda 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 booda. Nothing sounds more dangerous than a trumpet. Watch out, here we go.
Brought to you by Impromptu Trumpet Solo. It's brought to you by Local Texas News. Number one in the ratings for decades, Local News is also number two and number three and number four because that's all anyone watches in Texas. Mm-hmm. If you're a local criminal, nothing will gain you notoriety faster than appearing in the local news. Watch it tonight. You're going to. This is directed by Michael Pressman, who would go on after this to direct 1977's Bad News Bears in Breaking Training. And then he would go
bears
on to other...
Bears so bad.
They're the worst. And he would go on to from this to other movies like Some Kind of Hero, Dr. Detroit, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. And he also directed the Vanilla Ice music video Ninja Rap.
You better aim quick, you can hit the center. In it to win it with a team of four Ninja Turtles that you got at the door. It's Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, Ninja Rap. Go, 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 go. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go. I remember that song.
Oh,
go
yeah.
Ninja, go Ninja, go. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go. Go. Complicated lyrics, you know?
Yeah. He was inspired one night just watching the movie and decided to write that down. There, he also did a whole bunch of TV movies and TV shows, which is what he is still doing to this day. He is directing TV shows, including Chicago Med and Law & Order. That's what Michael Pressman's up to. If his resume, though, sounds a little contrary to exploitation films... You know who would agree with that? Michael Pressman, who told the LA Times in October of 1976 that he said, quote, I'm semi-uncomfortable with the violence in my film. It's a mistake, but I did it out of insecurity to touch all the bases. He admitted that this film was purposely made to be a Roger Corman exploitation film, something that would appeal to, quote, the visceral instead of the brains. He continued, quote, it's just something for the industry is going through, a way for me to break in. If I was around in the 50s, I'd have been working in live TV. I am here practicing my craft.
That's fair. Look, we all got stuff on our resume we're not proud of. That's fine. It's no big deal.
Yeah,
felt like he really felt like he had to justify that. Look, this movie's not terrible. It's got car chases. It's got dynamite. It's got boobies. He shouldn't be so hard on himself.
I know.
I've done way worse jobs. I administered the Pepsi Challenge, if anybody remembers the Pepsi Challenge. Okay? We all look back and have things that we regret.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I took the Pepsi Challenge throughout southeastern Indiana, okay? Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Right, right. I mean, I feel like this is also, that's him promoting the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out there talking to the press like, I don't know. I don't feel very good about this. I mean, it's his first film.
If you're going into The Great Texas Dynamite Chase, looking at the movie poster and the title and expecting something different than Chase's Dynamite and Boobies, that's on you.
Right.
Yeah.
You have made a critical
error.
Being
released from Roger Corman's New World Pictures. And they're like, well, let's see what cinema this has to offer.
And financed by New World Bank.
Yes, we saw that. I wish I could just tell him, like, hey, don't worry about it. I don't watch most of these movies with my brain, so you're doing great. They're almost always visceral for most of us. Most of us, I mean.
And I mean, in terms of also delivering a visceral experience, I mean, you did that. And he certainly
nailed it.
He certainly did the Roger Corman style exploitation films. So, I mean, he studied them. He's like, okay, this is what you want. Here we go. Mm-hmm. This stars Claudia Jennings, former Playboy Playmate of the Year in 1970.
Oh my God, you guys, this is embarrassing. That's how I was a Playboy Playmate before I got into podcasting. You can tell by the way I explain it that it's something I've definitely done. Yeah, I playmated, guys. I playmated.
You were playmating a lot before this
podcast. Yeah, I was playmating everywhere before somebody said, you know what? You've got a body for audio. You should do podcasts.
You were initially scouted doing that Pepsi challenge. That's how they get most of the playmates, really.
They're like, hey, hunky lady.
It was it was Pepsi Girls Gone Wild. Was that where it started?
I was the rebel who would just put Pepsi in both. People would be like, this one's Pepsi. I'd be like, you win.
They're both Pepsi.
I was too busy drinking all the Coke, you know.
The Claudia Jennings, she's also labeled as Queen of the Bees, so called by the great Texas Dynamite Chase press kit.
Oh
wow!
I hold here in my hands.
The kids are gonna love that when we hand that down as their inheritance. Look at that!
Your father has passed away, but he has left you the great Texas Dynamite Chase press kit.
He wanted you to have this.
Kids are going to fight over it.
Yeah.
Wait, you left that to you?
I hope you got two.
She's called Queen of the Bees in this. Queen of the Bees up here, which this whole press kit is written by movie critic Todd McCarthy, who started out at Variety. He was at Hollywood Reporter, and I think currently he is on Deadline. He was the New World head of promotion around this time. He's on the back here.
Mm.
And he wrote this whole press kit, which also talks about how he knew her and put her in one of his student films back in the day. But here's a quote from Claudia Jennings from the press kit about this movie. She says, quote, "I seem to have a knack for acting in films which have rough locations and dangerous action. Mm. I fought off alligators and huge insects in the swamps of Gator Bait.
She's a swamp hag.
She is. Dodged trucks in the desert on truck stop women and bruised every inch of my body getting pushed around the roller derby rink on the unholy rollers. But surprisingly, the Great Texas Dynamite Chase was the toughest of all. I was badly injured during one of the bank robbery sequences, but I finished the scene before going to the hospital. I ended up staying there for 2 weeks. I lost 20 pounds and still had my nude scenes to shoot."
Oh my God.
Mm.
What a trooper. By the way, Todd McCarthy.
She doesn't have 20 pounds to lose.
I know. Well, crazy.
Yeah. But what I know is I'm going on vacation in a couple weeks and I need to rob a bank before I do that.
And maybe
that
will
help me trim down
yourself.
A little.
That's right.
Trim down a little bit of that excess weight that I've put on.
By the way, Todd McCarthy, who wrote this, calling her Queen of the Bees, of course, he had also edited a 1975 book called King of Bees, working within the Hollywood system, which is about Corman and several other filmmakers like him. So like him sort of basically using his own book to quote and use that on someone else in his own press release. Good job, Todd. Good for you.
I love
for
that
you.
For him. I'm going to follow that up. The sequel is going to be called E of the Bees, and it's just going to be me talking about those two books.
Just that's your next quotes. Podcast. That's your next podcast. As
E of the Bees.
As you administer the Pepsi challenge. But Jennings
Can you
was,
tell the difference?
Jennings was a favorite of Roger Corman. In fact, he produced the Unholy Rollers movie that she talked about in 1972. And she would, though that was for AIP, not New World, but a nearly New World. Would go on to appear in Moonshine County Express for New World and, as we've already discussed, Death's Port.
Mm-hmm.
This also stars Jocelyn Jones, unknown at the time. She had only appeared on a few TV shows and one supporting role in the 1975 film The Other Side of the Mountain. She went on to roles in The Enforcer and Tourist Trap and is now a renowned acting teacher.
Okay. Do you think that she shows this movie when she's teaching people the skills?
Maybe.
How to act?
Maybe.
You know, how to make sure that you really You press that that tank top as tight as you can against your unbrasiered breasts so that the nipples
stop
can
rubbing
really
your hands together while you say that.
Weird.
Yikes.
We're all uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable saying that sentence. That's why I couldn't get it out.
Oh, right. Man. Speaking of King of the up. Bees, Mark of the Bees over here.
The boobies.
Let's go to what this movie is about. Mark, what is this movie about?
Listen, are you in a rut with your boring old job? One day you're woken up by a phone call from your boss because your alarm didn't go off. It should also be mentioned that you're sleeping in what appears to be a studio apartment decorated like a child's bedroom. Or maybe you're just working a dead-end job at a hotel with no opportunity for career growth. Then, out of the blue, just by happenstance, you're propositioned to start a whole new career. One where you get to work with people and drive around in a Rolls Royce. But, you know, here's the thing. When you take a new job, when you decide to have that career change, it's going to come with some new challenges. One could be like never-ending travel. Like, you're never home to see your family. There's also maybe an above average amount of risk that you might be shot. So my point is, when you're presented with an opportunity for a new job, sometimes it's just better to stay at your shitty job where you know what could happen every day and there's no risk that you could end up getting shot.
But she got fired. She couldn't stay at her old job.
I'm talking about a career change, you know? Sometimes you just go, hey, there's another bank down there. Evidently, there are banks around every corner. She could have got a job anywhere.
She could have worked at the animal shelter the way she quickly handed over that cat.
Yeah, for sure.
She would have been getting animals out of that shelter left and right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're looking at that cat. Yeah. You looked at that cat. Here you go. This is your cat now.
You looked at it. That's all it takes. You looked at it.
Your eyes touched it. It's yours.
Okay, Erica, what is this movie about?
This movie's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward, and it's pretty ladies can get away with anything.
Yeah.
They robbed so many banks, and nobody could describe them as two extraordinarily beautiful women that had sticks of dynamite. Like, no one could pinpoint them.
And in one of their robberies, they both wear, like, very bright yellow and orange dresses.
Yes.
It's like...
Yeah,
they're not wearing anything subtle. They're both in there looking gorgeous. At any point, any of those security guards could have easily tackled either one or both of them. And doesn't, because he's like, oh, she's so pretty, though. I don't want to mess up her dress. Pretty ladies can get away with anything. Mm-hmm. I should know, because as a former playmater and administrator of the Pepsi Challenge, let me tell you, if you want to take a couple sips of the old Coca-Cola, no one's going to stop you because you're pretty. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Want to put Pepsi in both of those? Cover it up. No one's going to stop you.
That's right.
That's what pretty ladies can get away with anything.
Pretty ladies can get away with anything. For me, this movie was about you never know what's going to happen in the bridal suite. I mean, anything goes. Anything goes.
Also, tip your wait staff. Am I right? That guy took customer service to the next level.
He took care of them. Got no tip except the tip.
Someone else took his tip for sure.
All right, let's talk about the Letterboxd synopsis.
Oh, goody.
We are on Letterboxd, so follow us there if you can. Letterboxd says here, Candy and Ellie Jo are a pair of sexy bank robbers who blast their way into small town banks with a carload of dynamite. Nope, not a carload.
No.
Yeah. Just
like a duffel bag full.
A conservative amount of sticks.
Yeah, yeah, but a large enough amount in that box that they could pull off many crimes.
Yeah.
When they take Slim hostage, where did Slim come from out of the blue? I don't know. But that's also how he enters the movie. It begins a thrill-packed crime spree across the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good on for Letterboxd. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
By the way, here's where you can watch The Great Texas Dynamite Chase. It's on Shout TV. It is on Freevee. It is on Tubi.
Tubi.
So there is plenty of places. It's on Plex.
I just want Shout TV's tagline to just be someone screaming at the top of their lungs. Shout TV.
TV. Now, these are our two leads, and they meet in this movie just out of pure happenstance, which happens a lot in these movies. But let's face it, you're not here for some beautifully put together plot construction. You're watching that Roger Corman exploitation film. You want to get to it.
Yeah, come on. I met Ryan hitchhiking after a bank witnessing a bank robbery. You know, come
that
on.
I did. Which it's is a meet exactly cute.
It's a real meet cute. He robbed a bank, and then I was driving home, and I was like, "Hey, this is a hunky guy. Oh, I think I'll pick him up now that I've got so much time. He's not playmating anymore. You know, done nothing but time."
Ellie Jo is, of course, played by Jocelyn Jones, and she's working at the bank that Candy is robbing, so she can, so Candy can then take the money back to her parents and her dad, and or her dad and her family. Her sister, played by Tara Strohmeyer, who we will all remember from CoverGirl Models.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll remember once Ryan reminds us.
No, I did remember. And I was kind of disappointed that she's only in the movie for like 5 minutes.
For a minute. That's it. Yeah. Her whole family's there for like a second. And then it's over. Really, because she had just gotten out of jail. She stole from a bank, that bank where Ellie Jo was working, but now fired from. And then she like takes off. I have no clue where her life was going to go. Did you guys have any idea what she was going to then do with herself? I guess hide out. I guess she took the money, gave it to her parents and her dad, and was just going to like...
Yeah, she was just going to be on the lam.
Yeah, just head out. But she had real plans of being a criminal until Ellie Jo then hitchhikes, gets in her car, which just is an amazing coincidence. And then Ellie Jo's the one like, hey, why don't we rob banks?
Look, I got an idea.
What?
Let's rob another bank.
You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. You and me together.
We pulled off once already.
Yeah, but come on, it was a crazy thing to do. Of course it was a crazy thing to do, and you and I can do it again.
With dynamite, I suppose.
Horse with dynamite!
By the way, back to my super hilarious story about being in ninth grade.
Oh yeah, go back to that. Wait, hold on, let me rub my hands together while you tell it.
when we would get these little sticks of dynamite, some of them were bad. I mean, that's inevitable. But in this movie, a bad stick of dynamite is portrayed
bad,
cool? like
bad, like those are
no,
bad.
Like
go ninja, go ninja, go bad.
No, not that bad. I mean, bad as in they don't work. They don't fulfill their obligation as dynamite. Okay. But I don't remember a bad stick of dynamite.
They never turn these. They did not fulfill their obligation as dynamite. Right. Right. I only have bits
the return policy of the store in Tijuana was not good. but when they didn't work, I don't remember them sounding like when you're really gassy on a flight and you have to let one go, but you're trying to hold it in. So. That's the sound of a bad stick of dynamite, or when you're squeezing the cheeks together hoping that it doesn't make too much noise, and I think I can sneak this one out. Oh, sorry guys.
Yeah, it's like a weird scan from a sci-fi movie, you know?
Like, well, it's because you wear those corduroy pants on your flights, and so when it comes out of there, it's like symphonic, you know what I mean? Like,
that's also me running to the gate. Did you see that guy go by? No, but I heard him.
I can smell him. And I like it.
Now you got me. I put my hands under the table so I don't rub them. Now I'm paranoid about rubbing my hands together.
You've been caught. You've been caught rubbing your hands together talking about boobies.
Why couldn't I rub my hands to something else? I mean, all these episodes that we've done, I could have rubbed my hands to Hellraiser or something else that wasn't so weird. I had to choose that moment.
You had to choose Hellraiser too. That's still weird.
I don't know if it got better with that example.
Yeah, it's not a good example.
We have such sights to show you.
I'd like to open a new account.
I'll be with you in a minute.
Well, it's very important I see the president about it.
No. I can help you with it. You just have to wait.
Well, you don't understand. The sum is very large, and it's an inheritance. You see, my parents left it to me.
All right.
All right, the second try, though, when they are trying to rob a bank, they go in and they try a different tactic. They try several different tactics in terms of robbing a bank. And in this one, they go to a teller, have a teller introduce them to the bank manager.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, sir. This young lady insists on seeing you.
And I must see you alone. It's about a new account.
That's right. She's going to fake a new account. Now, that lady really sounded familiar. And I was like, where is she from?
How much longer are you going to go on blaming your dreams for your own weakness?
Lady, how much longer are you going to keep blowing smoke about it?
That's enough, Kincaid.
There will be no repeat occurrences of last night's events. From now on, your doors will be locked during sleeping hours.
That's right. That's Priscilla Pointer from Nightmare, who played the doctor in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
And is the mother of the producer, David Irving.
And you see, because she's so pretty, I didn't remember that she was also in Dream Warriors. So that's, again, the pretty women.
They get you away with anything.
You didn't even put it together.
It's distracting.
You know?
Yes. There should be uglier people in movies so I can have proper facial recognition.
Yeah. I feel like that.
Otherwise, it's just
a
big
say.
Blur.
More ugly people in movies, please. That's what a lot of people are saying. That.
Yeah.
It's going around. And as Erica pointed out, Priscilla Pointer, 100 years old, still alive.
Wow, good for
years
her.
Old. So
good for
her.
But seriously, if you go in to rob a bank with a stick of dynamite and it has a long fuse, that thing isn't going to light. Why are you standing around staring?
She's a pretty lady.
Tackle her. Get the dynamite out of her hand.
It's not like it's dynamite. If you tackle them and just snuff out the thing, you're good. Right. Dynamite isn't something where you're like, oh, it dropped. No, it's gonna blow. I mean, it's dynamite.
Right.
It's not like taking a grenade and you pull the pin out and then you're like, if you mess up with me and I let go of this grenade and the thing pulls apart and the spark happens, this thing's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
But the Great Texas Grenade Chase just doesn't quite...
doesn't have the same panache.
Doesn't have that, though.
Now we could do the all-male remake of the Great Texas Grenade Chase and have the poster be like someone cupping grenades like balls. And then it could be two dudes and then
like
they go
you
visit
have to, you have to explain what you mean when you are literally physically cupping them to both of us in a way.
Tell me more, Erica. I'm getting into it.
Ooh, testicles, grenades, me likey.
But it could just be two hunky dudes pulling off bank robberies.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And they're using the money that they rob to open up a spa. Like steaming.
That's the second half.
That's how it comes together.
That's their ending. That's their ending. Mm-hmm. They open up the spa and then it takes off from... my God!
You have a prequel. You have a prequel.
I have a prequel! Okay, Mark, you get a writer's credit for that.
story credit.
Seems, yeah.
Ryan, I said it right. I'm pretty. You don't remember if I said it right or wrong. Come on. I use the right words.
Was this few extra dollars I'm looking for anyway? And I'm one hell of a worker.
What kind of work have you done?
Oh, hell, I've been everything. I've been a bull rider, dock worker, ship clerk, train conductor, truck driver, you name it. I've done it.
Sounds like to me you just can't keep a steady job.
No, that's not it. I just don't like being tied down, that's all. Yeah, but this is different. I see a future in this.
But we bring in Slim. Slim is played by Johnny Crawford. I'm going to read a little bit from his his bio here in the...
Going back to the press kit? Is that
press
still
kit.
The press
here,
kit?
All still right. the press kit. Here we go. Here's what he says about Great Texas Dynamite Chase. He says, quote, "I don't see how this picture can miss success." Each scene is laced with humor, and despite the fact that the three protagonists are decidedly larcenous, there's a certain moral character, even innocence, about them. Huh?
Well, first of all, I didn't find this movie all that humorous.
Oh, no.
Did you? Are you telling me that you did? You were laughing all the way through this movie?
I laughed all the way to the bank. There's definitely funny moments. I think I would say humor is laced in, but it's peppered,
I would say
it's sprinkled.
It's lighthearted.
Sprinkled in. Yeah.
It's lighthearted. It's not taking itself all too seriously, I'll say that. I don't know if it's like they're particularly laugh out loud hilarious, but yeah, I mean it's not trying to be it's not taking this very serious. You know.
I mean, Dynamite's a serious thing. And I guess maybe that's what threw me off is I respect Dynamite.
That's right.
Wile E. Coyote? What's your beef with Dynamite?
He it's told not a beef. Story about this childhood.
It's just,
he was
it's
traumatized.
Just a respect that I have for what Dynamite
I guess
Dynamite
when you carry it
do.
Across the border in your pants, you look at it differently.
By the way, Johnny Crawford... He was not only an actor, but he also had a music career. He started
out... Was he a playmate also?
He was a Mouseketeer, so close.
Oh, same.
Close?
Yeah.
How is that close?
I mean, you either do one or the other.
Yeah, you're either playmating or you're Mouseketeering. It's yeah. one or the other. Come on.
And then
man,
he was a child star. He did TV show called The Rifleman.
Yep.
For a long time, which Sam Peckinpah directed the first episode of that. And I think that was with Chuck Connors. So for 5 years he did that. So he was a child star. Then gets involved in this. He does not have a very long exploitation career. This is about his only entry into that. But, you know, he was getting a job and trying to get involved. And he was happy to be in with the ladies. In fact, he told... The San Francisco Examiner in October 1973, he said, "When I first read the screenplay, I saw it as pure exploitation. Then when David, the producer, David Irving, told me his viewpoints and his hope of injecting some depth, perhaps even some satire, I agreed. No, I don't look upon it as being demeaning at all, playing second banana. In fact, it's a pleasure to see the women landing the juicier roles for a change. The sex roles in our society have been constantly shifting anyway. Why shouldn't a woman be sexually aggressive if the mood strikes her?"
Okay. I mean, I would still say that the honeymoon suite is questionable. I would have issue. This might be a peek behind the curtain, a little too much of a peek. But I think I would have a hard time getting too amorous in that honeymoon suite. First of all, that bathtub.
Shit, Ryan canceled the hotel. He's not into it.
Oh, well. Ooh. It was going to be the best. It was going to be such a great anniversary gift. But
that,
oh, well.
That
I was making a reservation birthday, like this. I wasn't doing this when I got that reservation.
Ooh. That bathtub is all tile and grout, which is not going to feel good on the meats and cheeses when you're trying to.
Especially if you're sliding
around on it. No.
And
no,
it's
no,
very,
that's not
very,
good.
It's not deep. It's very
Are you
shallow.
Sliding around in the tub yeah, on your stomach? My
no,
God. How
I'm
are you
saying on your meats and cheeses. Your butt, your delicate
Your butt
balls.
Is not... Oh, God. He thinks the butt is the cheese. I don't think he knows... I think we need to go... Mark, meats and cheese are in the front. The butt is the buns.
Wait.
Oh, my God. This is how you find out? The butt is buns?
Wait.
Oh, no.
I thought the dog was the front and the meat was the buns and the cheeses were the balls.
Jesus. Oh, no.
What?
And don't you look at a block of cheese and think of balls?
Yeah, everybody
all
does.
All the time.
All the time.
Okay.
Guys,
all
wait.
Time.
Okay. Mind blown. I totally had this wrong the whole time. But that aside, the blue carpet.
I'm out of this because I always wrap my penis in cheese. So I don't know what I'm doing.
His is quite literally.
You wrap your balls around your dick?
No.
Wait, I don't understand, Ryan.
You don't like to have a little hot dog? You don't like to have a little testicle hot dog?
It's a cheese dog, honey. Come on, get it right.
Come on. Come on, Ryan.
Jeez. Come on, Ryan. It's your own invention, for Christ's sakes. Get the name right.
Hours of entertainment, guys. Hours of entertainment.
All I'm saying is...
Why won't Jack get out of the bathroom?
All I'm saying is that bathtub will lend to some chafing.
Okay.
In addition, 100%, 100%. The blue carpeting in that honeymoon suite or bridal suite or whatever it was looked like it smelled terrible. They had also a tower of fruit that looked practically inedible.
And then it was filled with buckshot.
Just filled with buckshot, which is just...
Later, it ruined that fruit.
Yeah, you could crack a tooth on that.
Yeah. can't eat that. You can't eat that.
No. No, God.
No picking. Just pick out the buckshot. This is really good fruit. It's really fresh.
Right. It's got a lot of fiber. But what I'm saying is, I just don't know that... I think that room would throw me off. I would have wanted a different room.
I was with Ellie Jo.
It was the bridal suite. So doesn't that infer that it's just for the bride?
Mmm.
Is that what that's I was called? Or call. Was it the newlywed suite? Maybe that's what I meant.
I thought it was bridal.
The honeymoon suite. It might have been the bridal suite. In which case, Slim should not have been in there at all.
Yeah. Should have just been the ladies with a shit ton of fruit, rubbing their buns on some grout.
Just exfoliating their buns on grout. Yeah.
Guess what? These buns can handle it. No problem. Not worried about it. Pass me the guava. Get it from the pile.
I think you're stuck with a lot of banana. You're just doing a banana mask on your buns.
Let's do some real-time research here.
Okay.
Are you just going to rewatch the movie while we sit here and wait? Or?
Hey, listen.
We'd like the bridal suite.
Mm-hmm. So Slim should never have been in there. It should have just been for the ladies.
Yeah, that's right.
Just looking at that room, it looks like it smells terrible.
It does. It does look a little. And they match the bed to the carpet. It just all looks like it doesn't look.
That whole room smells like nail polish and titty sweat. Let's just be real. Let's just be honest, all right?
And just a faint whiff of that fruit basket. Just a little.
That's why the fruit was piled so high, just to offer any other smell other than those first two.
Right. And this predates those air wicks that you could just shove into the power supply.
Which
is
a sign of a great hotel. When you walk in, you can smell those air wicks. And they're like, all I can smell is that fake smell that they're plugged into the wall.
This is a nice hotel. Is that forest pine? Mm.
Is that pumpkin spice?
Mm. That is fresh.
Wow,
this place
they're really
fresh.
Making it smell like the season.
Look, hon, they've got grout in the tub.
Awesome. My butt has so much dead skin on it. Sorry, honey, I don't mean my butt. I guess I mean my back meat and cheese. I don't want you to get confused.
The meat. That's just the meat. I'm going to rub my meat against the grout.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm taking these cheese slices and wrapping them around my ding dong that I got out of this fruit basket.
That's your dog, Ryan. God, how come you guys don't know this?
You're there too. Why are we all in this room together? We should have separate rooms. Which is maybe the problem. Mm-hmm. Slim doesn't last long. He becomes a big part of their plan to be a hostage as they continue to take over more banks. But, you know,
I thought you were going to say he was a recipient of a bunch of buckshot.
If that's what happens in the end. Yes.
Oh, Mark. Okay. I thought you were jumping right to that.
Eventually, he does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but thank you for reminding me of that.
Are you crying? God, you really loved Slim.
Guys,
I'm just dynamite going out. I'm sorry, Ryan. I thought you were crying.
Oh, no, just kind of letting one loose there. I'm all right. Just a little uncomfortable with that gas pain, but it's gone now. Clearly,
That's going to be the new code name. Like, what's that smell? Just a faulty stick of dynamite.
As soon as you make the sound, you're like, oh, man, did you just fart? No, I just lit a faulty stick of dynamite that didn't go off.
Right.
The same sound. It's the same sound.
Same sound.
And that's where we get to at the end. Slim gets it from some cops and lead to our big ending chase.
But before that, so Slim gets shot during an earlier chase. He's shot in the arm and he heals himself like a fucking superhero in like a day.
Well, the ladies put the bandages on him. They help out.
I understand that.
I felt like he just got nicked. Like he just kind of nicked him.
But still, there's no scab. There's no scarring. It's just like, look, my arm's fine. Like the next day.
Yeah.
He had a scar, but he rubbed it against the bathroom tile.
Yeah.
And it just rubbed off and underneath it was just perfect skin.
Beautiful, perfect skin.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I take back my comment.
It's time for things we loved. And things we hated.
All right, we're going to talk about the things we loved and things we hated about the Great Texas Dynamite Chase. Mark, what is something you loved?
I loved the introduction of the strip / supper club. I don't feel like this is something that we don't have in society today.
Sure.
A place where you can take your significant other for fine dining and big boobies.
Right.
And
right.
It's totally cool. This is part of the entertainment of a expensive supper club.
Right.
Yeah. Why don't we have that today?
Dress up, because there is some cabaret dancing. So by all means.
But cabaret insinuates that there's something left to the imagination. And in this case, it's full frontal dancing. And while you enjoy, presumably, a fine prime rib.
That is something that I love while we're on the subject, because when that bank manager sees them and chases them through the restaurant, because he knows that they're all the bank robbers, he chases after them and runs, and they run towards the dancer, and he stops short and just stares at her.
Yeah.
So he's like, dang you, I'm going to get you. And then he sees her and goes, whoa.
Yeah.
He stops.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Was good. It happens for a split second, but it's very
it's very funny.
Erica, what is something you loved?
Yeah, I also love that. Look, there's lots to love in this movie. It's got it all. It's got pretty ladies, it's got a titty count, it's got a D count. Mm-hmm. It's only one, but it counts.
We can see some Jesus.
Makes an appearance.
Just the tip of the cheese. Just the tip of the cheeses.
Yeah, it's got car chases. It's got bank robberies. It's got crashes. It's got horseback riding. I mean, it is. I'll be honest. I was not in the mood to watch anything when Ryan was like, "All right, well, let's watch our next movie for the podcast." And I, to my own credit, you know. Watched it.
Congratulating yourself. Well done.
You know, I would say normally I'm queen of the Z's, the snoozies, but you know, this time I was queen of the C's. I watched the entire movie. I was queen of the S-E-E-S, the C's, the visuals. I watched it and I loved it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the other thing I loved too was that the fact that they didn't actually pull off a bank robbery in their first attempt. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
They kind of, they basically fail.
I mean, there's a learning curve.
Yeah, yeah. They have to figure it out.
Practice a little bit.
Yeah, which I appreciate, because I think like in other movies, you just have them just figure it out right away and just do it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, went successfully the first time, but now that they're working together as a tandem, it failed. I kind of like that they, you know, threw trial and error into there instead of everything going super well. Let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what did you hate?
The dynamite. Like I said, it's a poor weapon for trying to rob anything, because if you've got a long fuse, just smack it out of their hand. Like, you have time. Everyone knows. Everyone can see that they have time to take action. And everyone just stands around like, oh, no, it's dynamite. Well, it's not going to go off magically by itself. In fact, it could just So, I mean, out of all the banks they robbed, nobody just said, I'm just going to tackle this person and grab the dynamite out of their hand.
Right.
Yep.
That seemed like a giant flaw in their strategy.
Yeah, they don't have a gun or a knife or something that could cause you immediate harm.
Right.
It's so, like,
while on one hand you have to hurry before the fuse goes up, at the same time, you have all that time before the fuse goes up. So
exactly. So you're like, and sometimes fuses just go out on their own. Yeah. So you could
anyone could have just been like nearby. Just puffed and puffed.
They didn't
out.
Have someone standing in the corner just being
you know,
I'm so sorry, whoever is like exercising at the gym and listening to that, and they just had to pull the headphones out of their ears and been like, oh, that was really intense blowing into the microphone.
Well, that's what it takes to blow out dynamite, Ryan, you noob. Come on. Every pretty lady knows that.
It's intense. That's what they teach you at the Pepsi Challenge. Step one of the Pepsi Challenge. These are three sticks of live dynamite. How do you blow one out? Let's figure this out.
Because you come in with the knowledge of what Pepsi is. It's fucking Pepsi.
You know Pepsi, but do you know dynamite? Let's figure this out.
It's Pepsi in the Midwest. I had that before I had water. Come on.
Oh, so you hated the dynamite. Erica, what did you hate?
Initially, I hated the introduction of Slim.
Okay.
I didn't think we needed him. I thought it was a really, really fun movie and a fun premise without him. I didn't feel like he added much. And then he grew on me, and I was like, okay, he's just really has to kind of keep fighting for his place and his relevance here. And so I kind of liked that he had to struggle to stay on the team.
Yeah.
And then I fucking loved when he died. I was like, this is terrific, because I initially hated this character. Then he grew on me, and then he was taken away. So I don't know if that counts as something I hated, but I did initially. I was like, oh, of course, here we go. And this is shoehorn a guy in here for some reason. But really, I thought it ended up great when he died, because it made me, it actually turned that into something that I loved. But I did initially hate that very much. Outside of that, the only other thing I hated was just some of the quality. It wasn't great on what we watched. It's not a perfect print.
I didn't say earlier, but we got one of those Roger Corman classic collections. Mm-hmm. And we watched it on that DVD. So that's where we watched it.
So the sound is a little funky at times, and there is really good music in this. I forgot to mention this in things that I loved. The music is terrific, including like the dynamite song that takes place early on in the beginning. Insert clip of dynamite song right here.
Yeah.
Go dynamite, go dynamite, go.
Very contemporary for the 1970s. Well, speaking of things I hated this moment with Slim where he suddenly is like, you know what? I'm going to leave. And then they go to the bus stop and they're like, go ahead. And he's like, I'm going to take off. See ya. And they like stand there in the car and watch him. Mm-hmm. And then the bus comes around and blocks him, and then it drives off. But he's still there. And I'm like, we don't need this moment.
No,
we don't need
hated
it.
That. But then later when he was blown away and was killed, I was like, well, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a way it's like his kind of like, I'm going to dedicate myself to these girls. But in short order, right after that scene, Ellie Jo's like, I love you, Slim. And they're like hanging out at the lake, and then he's blown away. And I'm like, did we need that moment of, is he going to get away? Or does that make it sadder when he's shot? I don't know, but I think we were on board, like to your point, Erica, I felt like I was on board with Slim already.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of this third guy that kind of got thrown in the mix. And then you're like, well, I don't know. I guess he's sticking around. And then he played guitar and you're like, I don't know, whatever. He could stick around. And so at that point, I don't know if we needed the fake out. I don't know if it just didn't seem necessary.
I think all that fake out did was just show how irresponsible he was with money. You know what I mean? Yeah. He took them to that sort of like burlesque show restaurant that they couldn't afford. Strip Supper Club. He helped them buy a Rolls Royce. He's just throwing money away on Greyhound tickets. It just shows he's like fiscally irresponsible.
Yeah, they have to rob so many banks just to keep up with his spending habits.
Yeah. He's just throwing money around the table when they're trying to count it. Like, this dude has no...
Typical Mouseketeer.
Yep.
That's what they do.
All right, let's M-O-N-E-Y. Why? Because we spend it.
That shouldn't have made me laugh that much, but it did. All right, let's switch to our favorite scene. Mark, what's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is when Slim is convincing Candy and Ellie Jo to let him join their operation. You know, they're kind of hanging out under a tree and he's trying to convince them that, you know, he's had a lot of different jobs and he can be
that's right
a versatile part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
But what really sold that scene for me is I didn't realize in those variety pack little boxes of cereal that you could just open it up like saloon doors on one side and just eat the cereal out of the box.
Yeah. I was thinking that same thing. Our grandmother had those when we would spend the night at her house, and we never once opened it up like that. I'm like, how did you open the plastic bag? Because I have to assume the plastic bag in there is the bowl.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I didn't.
The plastic bag is the bowl. That's correct.
How do you? I never did it. Never even tried that.
Never knew that existed until watching this movie.
Oh, and man. We need to do an unboxing video of that then and have the two of them try this and we need to film it.
I feel like a part of my childhood was robbed from me because no one told me, oh, by the way, this one side of the box just opens up and you can pour milk in and eat it right there.
Eat out of the box. Yeah. You don't even need a bowl.
Yeah.
Nope. Jeez.
You didn't even really need a spoon if you wanted to eat it like, you know,
like a
farm
like
animal style.
Like a trough. Just
yeah.
Wait, do it trough tell me style. More. Tell me more about this.
I just pour it all over my cheese. Erica, what's your favorite scene?
I have two favorite scenes.
Oh, wow. A twofer.
Yeah. My first favorite scene, this will surprise no one, is when they invite the hotel worker to the bridal suite and he gets naked and gets in the tub with them because you see his wiener. So that's my number one favorite scene.
All right. That's fair.
For so many reasons. Like, what? He's on the clock. Yeah. And he just, you know, decides, oh yeah, I should get nude and get in this tub. Love it. Love that scene.
Drinks everything like almost is wrong all with the it. Champagne. He
gets
went
drunk
nuts.
Up there, goes back to work wet. Like, I just, it's terrific.
He might have been on a break.
Has that moment with his coworker where they kind of like, he's just like, and they kind of give each other the nod. I just thought that was hilarious. My second favorite scene is at the very end. They're on the run and they're trying to get to Mexico. And Ellie Jo does a terrible job with directions and only gets them to just the southern, I guess, most point of Texas. not quite in Mexico.
Yeah.
But they see a Hispanic family eating lunch outside. So they're like, Mexico, we did it. And the family's like, no, this is not Mexico. That's Mexico. Like, this isn't it. Leave us alone. We're just enjoying lunch on our property that we own. It was so ridiculous. We but then again, it. He's not. He's not like, hey, bleeding woman. Hey, the cops are coming. Like, again, pretty girls. They don't get shushed off the property. They're just allowed to hide out. But then they ride out like two baddies on horses.
Yeah.
They go in there and they take the horses. The family's powerless to stop them because they're so beautiful and sexy. They ride off to Mexico on horses. And I was like, wow, this movie ended so much better than I thought it would. So
that's true.
Well, they did blow up all the cop cars with a bunch of dynamite. So that prevented the cops from chasing them. But yeah, and they took off on horses.
All of that. Yeah. They rolled the car out with all the dynamite.
They even did the little scroll at the end of like where they ended up in their lives.
Where are they now?
Yeah.
And they went out and like separately lived their lives. Yeah. I also thought that was pretty badass. Like,
yeah, they went to Mexico just and said, phase. We can't keep this up. So best of luck to you and off we go.
Yeah. I really like that. So those are my two favorite scenes.
Well, this is my favorite scene. We sort of talked about this a little bit, but this is my favorite scene.
Freddie, you take Sam for me.
Sure, where are you going?
I'm hitting the road, Freddie. No more Alpine. Oh, no drive through makes it far.
What the hell's got into you? It's that robbery today, isn't it?
Oh, come on, Freddie. That's the most exciting thing that ever happened in this town. And I ain't waiting around for it to happen again.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
I don't know, Freddie, but whatever it is, I'm going to have fun doing it.
But just to leave. I mean, you can't just leave. You're heading for trouble.
Yeah, just hands over that cat.
She hands that cat. She hitches a ride to go give this guy her cat, who is not her boyfriend from the beginning of the movie.
Nope.
Right.
He is some new character we don't know. This is his only scene.
Yep.
We never get to know.
We never get to know him. He's at work. I have to assume he's some sort of line cook or something.
Yeah.
Perhaps a bartender. Perhaps. I don't know. But he looks like he's at work. You're leaving a cat and being like, here you go. And nothing else. Just the cat.
Yeah.
Like, good luck with all the other accoutrements that you need with this cat.
No litter box, no bowls, food bowls,
nothing.
No collar.
Nothing.
No Friskies cat toy. Pate. None of that.
Nothing.
And you're at work. So best of luck juggling all of those things.
Yeah. It's a bold move. But again, he can't turn her down. She's pretty lady.
She's
so
pretty
he takes
lady.
The cat.
And then he tries to warn her. You're going to head in trouble. Boy, did he know. Boy, did he know in advance.
Yeah.
She was heading for trouble.
Well, and back to your point about the sound quality, there's a lot of audio issues in that one clip. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the listener was like, really, how bad is the audio? Well, you just
heard it. There you go.
Yeah.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know. Let's go to some final questions. Here are final questions for the Great Texas Dynamite Chase. Oh, don't you hate it when your alarm isn't loud enough to wake you up?
Yes.
Yes.
And don't you hate it when your spouse's alarm isn't loud enough to wake them up, but it is loud enough to wake you up? Airing it all out here. I'm a pretty lady. I can get away with it.
Well, when I was younger, I had a lot of paranoia about sleeping through alarms because I did that quite frequently.
Sure.
But now that I've gotten older, I have this really great gift, which is I set an alarm, but then my body just wakes me up about 20 minutes before the alarm's going to go off. So I can just keep staring at my clock or the phone and going, well, I got 15 more minutes left before that goes off. So I'll just lay here and stare at the ceiling for a while. So I haven't slept through an alarm in like 20 years at this point.
I wish that was a real viable excuse because I feel like that's a real thing, especially when you are in your 20s. That's a tough one.
But you see, the buzzer on my alarm, sir, is so faint I can't hear it if I can't hear it.
Lies won't work with your record any longer.
Also, real like power move to make her still come in to the bank and then fire her.
Right.
Like, call her, be like, you're late, have her race down, go, cool, now that you're here, we're letting you go. Like, that was a power move.
Mm-hmm.
Does Jake sleep with anyone that tries to buy dynamite from him?
I hope so. You know what? I hope so. I hope that's part of the deal. You want some dynamite?
Is that cool? Well, you want some dynamite? Well, why don't we step into the barn? Now, this next question, I know we don't quite have as many print magazines as we used to, but like, what happened to Beaver Magazine? It feels like a real loss.
Yeah, what happened?
It's enjoyed by our highway patrolmen. I mean, it's a great way to get through a tough work day.
I mean, like a lot of magazines, it got bought up by, I'm sure it got bought up by Condé Nast, and now they've rolled it into another publication. And, you know, that's what happens.
American Beaver.
It's a very different magazine.
American
now.
Beaver Traveler.
It's a niche traveling publication now.
Okay. Great. I just read it for the articles.
Because in this case, they're only articles. No,
there's only articles in there.
Right. Right.
Oh, this one's actually about a beaver that's traveling cross country. Oh, this is what a drag. Why was it $20? All right. Here's a question. I'm curious about this. Did when they tie up the police officer to the tree, mm-hmm. and they light the stick of dynamite in front of him, and he's, you know, his pants are down and everything. Right. Did they know though that it was a dud?
I don't think they did. Because they also tried to use dynamite to blow up the vault and it didn't go off.
Right. So they were thinking we're going to
about manslaughter. Yeah, they were thinking about manslaughter. Yeah.
They were going to kill a cop.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're
stealing Fever magazine,
if you're handcuffed to a tree and there's a stick of dynamite in front of you, and I realize that this isn't going to totally save you, but maybe just shimmy yourself so the tree is now between you and the dynamite.
Right.
It will provide some coverage.
Some. Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's not
going to totally. Just like kick up some dust and stamp out the dynamite.
He starts to kick up the dust, but he's kind of gives up on it. Just dynamite again. I'm sorry.
Right.
There you go.
You know?
Right. But it is just a little too far away, and his pants are down around his ankles, so he has limited mobility. But he still could have moved his meats to the other side of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When things get tough for our trio,
mm-hmm.
why not just sell the rolls?
Well, they bring that up.
Right.
And they just they're going to use it for one more heist.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not just sell it, though, and get another car? Like, I mean...
Easy for you to say. Drive around in your Rolls and see if you're ready to give it up. You know what I mean?
Well, why
did they go back to a Toyota Camry after that? Come on. You don't go
also,
backwards.
Why didn't they just try to sneak back into that cabin and get all the money that they hid under the mattress?
I know. Did she go back in and grab the money out of the bed?
She did. No,
that's why they were broke.
Yeah. I would have figured out a way to sneak back in. I mean...
That's the discourse they had, and once they got to Mexico, she was like, "Well, luckily you got all that money from out of the bedroom, all right?" And she was like, I think this is where we go separate ways then."
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You idiot. All right, let's get into some research. This was shot in late 1975 for a budget of $200,000. Director,
just put that anywhere.
Yeah, it's in my phone. No big deal. Director Michael Pressman and producer David Irving were able to raise the funds once Roger Corman agreed to do a negative pickup deal. And here is how Pressman describes it in New World Pictures and Oral History, Volume 1, written by Stephen Armstrong. He says, at the time, negative pickups were very common. Roger Corman gave us a guarantee of, if I remember correctly, 1/3 negative pickup. How it worked was, if somebody invested $10,000, they would get 1/3 of their money back.
Okay.
That was the negative pickup deal. Producer David Irving explained to the San Francisco Examiner in October 1976, he said, Corman guaranteed distribution as long as I included the exploitation material. With his guarantee, which is like gold in the bank to investors, I had no trouble raising the $200,000 budget. And Pressman says, back in the book, he mentions that people invested because of a 4-to-1 tax shelter, which allowed for someone to invest 10 and write off 40. It was a tax incentive in LA at the time to invest in independent movies.
Oh, wow.
So that's how they were able to raise this movie, including Nicholas Meyer, who was at the time Michael Pressman's brother-in-law. He was the writer-director, Nicholas Meyer. He invested $10,000 in this. So... Hmm.
But for $200,000, just a quick question, and I don't mean this as a joke. Well, I am seriously asking. When you think about there's obviously a lot of cars that need to be rented, locations, but you think of all the people that are involved with the movie. For $200,000, I mean, your stars really aren't being paid shit for this movie.
No one's
right?
getting much money. No, for sure.
Yeah. Say even your three leads, you pay them $15,000 a piece. you're now at 45,000. You've got 155 left to do the whole thing. Like that,
that's not. That's
impossible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we mentioned, they did shoot in the San Fernando Valley, substituting for Texas. Woo! They shot for 25 days, a luxurious length of time, because they were actually not like other New World films, because New World was not producing them. They were just distributing them. Mm-hmm. Though Corman did have a say in casting. He liked Claudia Jennings and signed off on that because, of course, he knew her from The Unholy Rollers. And he also came to a screening and said, looks good. Approved the film. Speaking of Jennings, remember when she talked about that injury?
Mm-hmm.
Pressman did talk about working with Jennings in this book. This might be his recount of the story where she was injured and didn't get to shoot for a couple weeks. He says, I think that she had serious problems. I remember we also shut down because I think she had a little bit of a nervous breakdown for a week and was on drugs or something.
Mm.
Was that the same 2-week break she talks about in the press release? Don't know. But yeah. I would think that if he's mentioning a week and she's mentioning 2 weeks and they both happened, well, that's a long time to be taking breaks. But in any case, it starts rolling out in terms of the movie release, starts rolling out in the South in June of 1976 under the title Dynamite Women. But by October 1976, when it reaches Los Angeles and it opens in tons of theaters in L.A., that's when it's called The Great Texas Dynamite Chase. Pressman recalls that the movie did very well. So he says this about the movie. The film got rave reviews. I was sort of blown away by the success of it. I had no idea what the impact would be. It launched my career very quickly. In my other book, Mind Warp, The Untold Story of Roger Corman's New World Pictures, they say that it did not do so well. But Michael Pressman says it did do very well. Maybe he just remembers it did well by him. I don't know. Box office numbers for these kinds of movies are very hard to look up. I think Corman feels good about it. But, of course, he only had to make back $200,000, and then anything he got over that was gravy. So I'm sure he feels pretty good about that investment. Perhaps it did well, if Pressman's correct, because of the different promotion ideas that are in the press kit. Let's take a look. Stage a chase in the manner of a scavenger hunt in your town, leaving a clever assortment of items hidden in various spots, which will be found by participants with the help of clues pertinent to your area. The first 5 participants to present the items at your box office are admitted free.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All you have to do is you have to sleep with a hunky guy that sells dynamite, and then you can get into the movie for free.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go find a Rolls Royce, a hunky shirtless guy, a tower of fruit.
Gotta really hope you gotta need a really much longer one to make it through the whole movie.
You mean your wiener?
Yep. You gotta find a long wiener. And then get a dynamite. But make sure he is a long wiener first.
I'd like to know how they validated that one.
Sorry, what's the length of your wiener?
All right.
Great. Drop it. I'll take it.
We got
it. Hand me your keys. And drop your pants.
We can't just take your word for it. We've been burned by that before. Yeah, no, we have to do a measurement. Sorry.
Think it's my first day as a valet? I think not. Hold a Name the Films of Claudia Jennings contest. Full list available from New World Pictures.
Okay. Did you have to write them, do you think?
Like,
you
had to send
self-addressed stamped envelope to someplace.
This is sending out to the press, so they literally do have sections in here where they like have quotes from the cast, and they say they leave spaces, you know, the action comedy opening, and they leave that space blank because it's wherever it's opening, whatever date it's opening in your area, at the blank theater. So they leave these spaces open so you can use this press material and then you fill in those blanks. So they're throwing that out there. Also, their fifth one, which I think is the cheekiest of all of them, make sure to double bill with The Omen. So probably just to point out how well that movie
was. That's a hell of a double feature.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
2 different tones.
I mean, The Omen is hilarious.
So funny. Mm-hmm. So fun. Mm-hmm. Same score. They use the same score.
Laced with humor.
They did use some New World people in the crew. Craig Safin, who wrote the music, he also did the music for Tag the Assassination Game and Angel and the TV series Cheers, though not the opening theme.
Oh, just like when they would return from commercial?
Yeah, pretty much.
Got it.
DP Jamie Anderson, he also shot Hollywood Boulevard and Piranha. But most of the other crew were people that Pressman knew from his days at CalArts. As I mentioned before, David Irving, the producer, he's the brother of actress Amy Irving. And David would go on to direct a lot of documentary shorts, but a few features, including Chud 2, Bub the Chud.
Oof.
Mm.
Oof.
And 1983's Goodbye, Cruel World, which was co-written by Nicholas Nicifer, who was the original director of Death's Port.
No kidding.
Who had to change it. They changed his name. And of course, Alan Arkush came in and did all those motorcycle chases and everything else to try to save the film. But yeah. So Nicholas Nicifer wouldn't go on to have a directing career, but he did write some scripts. And that was one of them, directed by David Irving. Screenwriter David Kirkpatrick of this movie, he would end up as president at Paramount from 1990 to 1993. So,
well, good for him.
And the assistant director, Sean Daniel, speaking of executives, he would be president at Universal for 5 years, starting in 1985. So a lot of people left this movie and started running movie studios, because once you've worked on Great Texas Dynamite Chase, you kind of know it all about the biz.
Yep.
Lastly, let's just read a little bit from the movie world of Roger Corman. This was Roger's thoughts about Great Texas Dynamite Chase. He said, "The Great Texas Dynamite Chase was a film about two girls from a small town in Texas who become bandits. It was quite successful, again, because the action was treated with humor. Claudia Jennings was one of the leading ladies, and she was very good."
Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm. "She has been in several films for us. Both leading ladies were good." Oh, let me, the other one also.
Not very good. Just good.
She
just
was good. She was good. "And the film was well made of its type."
Okay.
Okay. Michael Pressman, who was doing his first job as director, went on to do some major films.
Wow. This person does not know how to fill in a Mad Lib. They choose just regular old adjectives.
Yeah. Yep. It's of a type. It's of a type. Yeah. It's of a type.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie, this movie was definitely of a type, a New World type, a Roger Corman type, this movie. I'm surprised he didn't have more good memories of it, but he remembered the Claudia Jennings of it all.
How could you forget?
How could you forget? That's it. That is the Great Texas Dynamite Chase, a.k.a. Dynamite Women. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, check out all our episodes and all of our June Vroom content at our website.
Boom, boom.
NewWorldPicturesPodcast.com. You can also get some t-shirts there. Buy a t-shirt. That would really help us out and support the show. If you don't want to spend the money on a t-shirt, that's fine. Tell a friend. Spread the word as we are going through every single movie released by New World Pictures. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.